All right, everybody, welcome back to part two of our dissecting of the PBS forum for Pablo Barrera and Mr. Gary Gandara. So we left off with Gary talking about we're going to do this, we're going to do that, very blanket statements on how we're going to close the gap, which he said about the superintendent. I have no idea what the superintendent has to do with trying to close gaps, but that's neither here or there. So let's go back and see if we can try to hear Pablo's response.
Oh, kind of specific decisions that need to be kind of happening now in terms of what next year will look like.
I think that's a great question because this is a leadership trick where I know that I've excelled very good at. So getting the teachers vaccinated is step one, because right now a lot of the teachers in the district aren't vaccinated, and that's one of their fears. The moment we get them vaccinated, then they can be back in the class. With that being said, what we also need to do options parents and students back. But back to what I was going to say. All the teachers know their community, know what they're going to need. At one elementary, at another elementary, it's going to need something else. So me as a board member, if I were to be on that board, I would need to have that dialogue with the community.
And then a follow-up, we don't know what next year will look like, but if the state were to allow virtual learning to...
So another kind of messed up volume issues. Let's see what Pablo really had to say. So that's that question was not on the TV one. So let's get back into it. I'll tell you what happened. So we already talked about Mr. Gandara, about how he says that we're trying to, well, I don't know what he said, to be honest with you. It was very vague. Pablo tells you how teachers need to be vaccinated. All of them do, if they want it. Teachers have to be involved in decision-making because they know the kids and they know the community. Rene, do you like that answer more?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It was, I think, more appropriate. You know, if you want the kids to get back on track and learning, who better than the people that are with them, you know, most of the day? You know, when we work an 8 to 5. Some of us work more, but in the majority of the people, you know, work 8 to 5. You know, what happens? Your kids are in school. You right. Don't see them. You don't see them. So who knows them more? Your teachers. So who has their ear? The teachers.
Right.
So they know their habits, because remember, we're creatures of habit. They know them. They understand our children. So who better than to get involved and to bring them back to speed on what they've lost in the education, teachers, principals, and so forth. So I think that was a good answer.
Okay. Sal, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, that has been the biggest, overall picture, you know, across with educators about the vaccinations and stuff like that. I agree. I think it was a good answer.
Hats off to the city of Socorro for vaccinating 4,000 people this weekend. Let me tell you, that is amazing. They still have some. They're still vaccinated. If you're 18 and over, please go to the city of Socorro website or find them on Twitter and sign up and get vaccinated right away. That is awesome. And also something at Sanchez, there was like a secret vaccination thing that nobody knew about. If anybody has information on that, that's not cool, but whatever. And we were guests, so let's go back to Ms. Smith and see what she has to say and what questions she asks. Here we go.
continue in some capacity, would that be something you'd be in favor of, allowing those students who want that option to stick with virtual learning next year?
Yes, I agree. I think we need to take that to the parents, because we have to look at it of concern in our community. A lot of kids that make some parents have to help them. But we need to look at that in future, having to go have COVID. And now we have a bigger problem on our hands.
And again, we don't know what the education commissioner will even allow.
So they're asking Pablo if he would allow people to stay in virtual learning. Okay, he asks them if they allow, which I'll tell you right now, it's very frustrating, because you can't hear them, and they didn't put the all thing on TV. He asks, you know, will you support? He goes, yes, because not everybody has health insurance. People, grandma and grandpa are the guardians at home, and they don't want to bring a disease back, because, you know, come July, when everybody goes back to school, you know, we don't know where we'll be at. So there has to be an option. Pablo says yes. Sal, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's technically the only option that is technically out there, right?
Right.
So we just don't know how long this is going to continue on and so forth. But the option is still there in order for us to provide, or to, in this case, the district, to give a safe environment.
Renee?
I agree. You know, you should give us, the parents, the ability to choose. I, for one, if I have the ability, and I'll say it, I will think twice of letting my children go due to this pandemic. We don't know the kids. I don't know if they're going to let the kids, only 18 and above, you know, but we don't know if the effects on the children, because it's across the board. You know, do I want to put my child in those predicaments? No. But it should be a choice, a parent's choice, whether or not to bring him back to school. You know, I think give, that was the proper thing to say and to do, of course, is to give us the choice. At least just for the next foreseeable year. I'm not saying to leave remote learning as it is from here on. I'm just saying until this pandemic is under control and we can move forward, I think that we should have the ability and the option to make that decision as a parent.
Okay. So let's see what Mr. Gondra has to say about that.
Wow, for next fall, it's really a guessing game for all of us. But if it were allowed, would you be in favor of allowing?
Of course. It's up to the parents right now to win if they want to send their student back to school. So of course I'd be, of course, in favor of it, allowing our students to stay at home, that the families prefer them to stay at home other than come back. But again, we need to leave it up to the parents, and which SISD has left it up to the parents to decide when their child can come back to school.
Speaking with the topic of COVID.
Now, let's go back to what we talked about earlier before Sal joined us. Sal, before you joined us, September, SISD wanted to take the kids back. Do you remember that?
I don't know.
And they wanted to take them back. Why? Because south of the border, south of I-10, I'm sorry, didn't have the Wi-Fi. They didn't have the hotspots. They didn't have laptops. Now, we're coming back here, and we're saying that we're going to let them be at home, but we still don't know if all the kids, and this is something I want to bring it back, because not everybody still has a laptop. That's the problem. We might have them now, like present day, but they didn't have them then. And still the Wi-Fi is going to be a problem, because guess what? Texas doesn't have Wi-Fi for everybody. What do you think? What what do you think we should do? Should we keep going? Should we stay back? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you have to analyze the circumstance. I mean, yesterday, I think the numbers were, I think it was 2 days ago, the numbers were looking real good. And then yesterday, there was a little spike in there. So, I mean, it's fluctuating. Even with the type of work that I do, there's been discussions at the state level of providing some sort of withband, broadband to rural communities. So Texas, not only as educators, but in the Department of HHSC, they're looking at a problem. So you could have all the technology, it can be given, it can be provided, but if there's no withband within your areas, in this case, you know, I'm talking rural, then how are you gonna connect? And so that could be the possibility as well too. There's some homes where maybe they just can't afford Wi-Fi or some sort of a internet connection. And so then is that something that the school's supposed to be providing or should be providing? Because if they're providing the service to connect from home, then I would say, yes, it's something that should be provided. You just can't give them the equipment. And it's just, for instance, with my employer has provided me with a laptop, with a MiFi card. So then I don't have to be using mine. So they're sending me home, but they are providing all the essentials that I need for me in order to do my job remotely. And so then that should be the same philosophy going into the school districts.
Awesome. So let's move on to what else we have to talk about here. We have a couple more minutes of this forum that we're going to break down, and we got something fun at the end, a fun game I'm going to play with you guys.
COVID-19 learning loss. Do you expect sticking with the topic of COVID learning loss, do you expect low-performing students to simply fall back more, or will the pool of low-performing students get bigger, and why? And I'd like to start with you on this.
That's a very good question. I think right now, due to COVID, you know, there is going to be a learning loss no matter what. We need, as a district, as an area, need to have that conversation and be honest with each other that due to COVID, there is going to be a learning loss, and we need to figure a way to combat it. And we need to have those conversations and starting now, and know that it's going to take a team of individuals to understand that what are the processes that we're going to need to take to get these students to an area where they're back on top of the district. You know, right now we have the WIN program. That's one of the programs that we have right now that is helping out those students that can't or can physically adapt to a normal classroom addition. The WIN program is helping those students with the more one-on-one learning with a teacher that follows them for 3 or 4 years. So again, due to this COVID learning loss, we really do need to have this conversation.
Thanks, brother. I'd love to hear your thoughts on kind of that topic as well. Yeah, do you expect low-performing students to simply fall back further, or do you expect that the pool of low-performing students will get bigger?
Very frustrating. And I can tell you, I have no idea what that answer was. Mr. Gandara did talk about the WIN program again, how a team takes the learning loss. Pablo probably had a great answer. It didn't come out on the TV. It's on the YouTube. It's very frustrating because we can't hear his answer. Gandara talks about the WIN program and more one-on-one learning. Well, one-on-one learning means that it's one-to-one, one teacher to one student. And if the WIN program is one teacher to one student, I love it. But it's not. It's just a group of kids, a small size. We can say 5 or 6. So first of all, he's wrong where it's a one-on-one, because you're talking about a child with a disability or a child with special needs or a child who's identified. Not anybody gets a one-on-one treatment again, unless you hire a tutor. Okay, this is a school board member that's been in this game for 11 years. That's a big difference. We talk about the WIN program. It's great. But you're asking a child to be at school for 10 hours. Okay? So I'm going to move on. I'm a little frustrated because of the video. Let's see if I can get somewhere where we can get the answers we want and the audio we want.
Switching gears a little bit. SISD launched its first dual language academy in 2019. What is your vision
for dual language
programming in the
There is no audio for this. Unfortunately, I'm going to find it because I recorded it.
And I would wish that we could have a good one. I don't know. That's one thing that
and then what's your vision kind of for dual language if elected to another 4 years?
Well, dual language is a good program. It's a program that is being implemented in the Lower Valley. It's a, you know, in the Lower Valley, it's mostly Spanish speaking students. So dual language is already occurring down there. But again, those are programs that are coming along. To give you some other examples, early colleges at all our high schools is one of the programs that has been implemented. Starting first at Socorro High School was the first high school to have a early college at its school. And now all our high schools have them. So as one high school does it, all of them are gonna have it. That's our plan as Team SISD. What one high school has, the other one will have as well.
So again, guys, that was, I don't know what the deal is with PBS. That was just, it's horrendous where we can hear Pablo talk about dual language. Sal, I'm gonna let you go first. You had something to say about the dual language answers, because we already saw it. This dual language did come on TV. I'm trying to find it. Hopefully we can get the answers we want. Sal, what do you think?
Yeah, Gary kind of smirked, and that was actually a super punch in the stomach for all of us that live in the.
Yeah.
And does he tend to forget that he still lives in the South? He's a product of the South, because obviously he went to Socorro High School. And so you're basically saying by that smirk and that comment that the people in the South know nothing but Spanish. That's what it was.
Yes, sir.
And so that was, you know, again, a punch in the stomach, because the lack of education Mr. Gandara has, obviously, again, he says earlier on, he says, you know where to find me. Everybody knows where to find me. But then you don't know your district. You don't know District 5 then. You don't know it in the sense that people down here in the South it's not just all, you know, Spanish speaking. So when you're talking about, first of all, there's no dual language down here in the South. Dual language. There's not one school. So let's get that right, Mr. Gandara, because there's no dual language down here. And if you're insinuating that we need a dual language because we need English, then say for what it is.
Yeah.
But we don't have a dual language. And if you're insinuating that we're Spanish speaking and that's all we're capable of doing,
yeah,
he will be surprised of how many people, just the product of Socorro, how many people have become more than just a Spanish speaking. I mean, yeah. there's been people that have come out of Socorro that have done great things. But, you know, when I heard that, that was a blow. That was a blow. And no, there's no dual language down here. It's up in the north. It's in the north. And if they have it over there, it's because maybe the population up there is English speaking and they want to have the opportunity for Spanish. But we don't have anything like that down here.
So, Sal, you hit it right on the kiss. It hurt. This is the conversation my wife called me back and told me that was BS on how he said that. And the thing is, he's just putting his district down. He's like, everybody talks Spanish at Socorro. Yeah, that's what he thinks about you. That's what he thinks about you. And that's what he thinks about you. That just kicked me where it shouldn't. And let me tell you, if you were smart, Mr. Guerra, Gandara, I'm sorry, you would say, you know what? Let's bring Mandarin. Let's bring Mandarin to Socorro. Let's bring German to Socorro. That's what you do. You don't put your own race down, your own raza. Everybody speaks Spanish in Socorro. Because you're so far-fetched from reality, because you have power and you forget where you come from. And you just spit in everybody's face in Socorro. Because you're too good for us. That's what it is. You're too good. And I know Rene has a lot to say right now. I want him to take a breath and make sure he understands what he's going to say. Rene, go ahead.
Well, that's a blatant lie. I mean, if you Google dual language at their website, it's on your phone, and there's nothing below the South.
No.
So
what he said was that you're in Socorro, so you speak Spanish.
Oh, no. I'm getting there.
Okay.
I just wanted to start from the beginning.
Okay.
There's no dual language down here in the South as per their website. Okay. As of today, I Googled it. I showed it to you. There wasn't. So maybe it'll be there tomorrow, but not today. But one of the things is that it is very disrespectful to the residents of the city of Socorro and in this district for putting us down. It's just very disrespectful. You know?
He doesn't care about us. You think he cares about your kid?
No, I'm just gonna say, look. Yes, I will say this. Not everybody speaks Spanish. No. My son doesn't want to speak Spanish.
Right.
He doesn't. You know, he always tells me, I just want to talk English. You know, which is astonishing to me, right? Because I want him to understand that he needs both languages. You know, if he could get a third one, that'd be great. You know, but just to assume that everybody's Spanish speaking, then the school system would be in shambles with the STAR test, with all the curriculum, you know? So you're making an assumption just because we're south of I-10.
And that's your evidence that he doesn't care about South.
He's out of touch. He's out of touch with us. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's easy to say, you know, a bunch of crap on a podcast. But when you're out of the public figure, then you could be at liberty to say, you know, some stuff that you normally wouldn't say when you're in a position, You know, I know that my tone and language changes when you're an elected official.
Yeah.
But when you literally come out and say, hey, you know, they're just Spanish speaking, so who cares? You know, that is a form of disrespect. I am very, very, I have a thick skin. I really don't mind because it is in the political realm, but you know, you should be in touch with your constituents.
He's not. He's far-fetched from it.
And that's what I'm saying. Should be in touch. And unfortunately, you know, he's not. And he's proven that.
That is the worst comment I've heard anybody talk about the city of Socorro. Somebody in a public light. Oh, we already have dual language in Socorro. Why? Because everybody speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
Man, if I could throw anything right now, I'd throw it. But that is straight up just blanket. We talking about it. He has no answers to anything. But he, oh, Socorro, they have their dual language. Because they speak Spanish over there. And the thing is, he's Raza. And remember, Raza brings down Raza, and that's what it is. There needs to be accountability, and he doesn't have it. He's disconnected from who we are and from what he ever thought he was. There is no smirking about Spanish speaking. It's like, in Socorro, everybody speaks Spanish. He'll cover it up. I didn't mean it that way. But that's the kind of person you guys elect. And we have to keep them accountable. If you haven't voted, go vote. If you're not going to vote, show them. I speak more than Spanish. I speak English. And I speak Chuco as well. Let me tell you guys, guess what I found? Pablo's answer. So I found Pablo's answer to the same question that Guerra said, that Gandara says, everybody speaks Spanish in Socorro. Let's see what Pablo has to say about this.
There was already a lot of need and inequalities that were down south in the valley, in Socorro especially. I noticed the inequalities, so I got time to, you know what? They needed help, period, before that. And that the COVID only exacerbated and made the situation big, especially with the 21 students down in Socorro High School that weren't supposed to graduate. And that was an issue. So now that we're here in the pandemic era, now it's just bigger. And so we need to give the teachers
that support. That wasn't it. I'm sorry about that. That wasn't it. That was an answer to something else. I don't think I have the answer to that. And it's really sad that we don't. So I wish I had Pablo's answer. I know Pablo didn't say that. I know he said that he wanted more dual language in Socorro because we don't have any. And René, check that out. That's a fact. Gary Gandara said, and let me tell you, people need to hear it, and I'm going to try to get it out there, is that everybody in Socorro speaks Spanish, so that's dual language. Dual language means 50-50. Dual language means that you're going to speak 50% English half day and another half day of 50% Spanish. I might be wrong, but that's the way I understand it. And there is Mandarin and there is German. And those are the dual language programs that they have. And in the neighboring district, they do have one in the valley. In the neighboring district. But your representative just said you have dual language because you all speak Spanish in Socorro. And if you're not offended by that, you should be. You really should, because that's BS. All right, let's move on. Hopefully, they're still suppressing Pablo Barrera's voice here on PBS. Let's go and see what we have here.
So another kind of big topic is charter schools are increasing in El Paso County, specifically in the Socorro area. Given that, how will SISD keep enrollment steady and prevent any future declines? I'll start with you, Mr. Condon.
Well, first and foremost, we started off with our with the program out there that we knocked on doors with our Stand and Deliver program. We had over 3,000 employees that volunteered their time to go and knock over 10,000 doors to let people know out there that why their students should stay in SISD due to a charter school. Due to, like, as my opponent, his children did go to a charter school. Again, I feel that as a parent, you need to be informed, or inform yourself as well, to know that what's the difference between a charter school and a public school. Public school, we educate everybody. We don't have a choice. We don't get to pick and choose who walks through that door and educate. We educate everybody with whatever issue they come with. We have to educate them, and we do. And at Socorro SISD, we do that job very well.
All right, I'm going to stop right there, guys, because I did find Pablo's answer to that question.
Latin usually tends to get forgotten about, and I would wish that we can have a dual language in that area as well. So, but I would, that's one thing that if I get on the board, that's one area that I'm going to advocate for, having dual language South of I-10. It needs it as well.
And then what's your vision, Penford?
So Pablo wants it South of I-10, but Gary Gondara said, we already have it. You speak Spanish, don't you? You know, it's like he's pretty much saying, you're like the, what's it called? Like any cartoon with a hat on, because we look brown. You speak Spanish because you're brown, right? Horrendous. Now, let's move on here. Let's see what we get here.
And I want to talk about that. That's great, because I went from a charter school parent for 1 year, now running to a public. So with that being said, yes, they did go there. It was a horrible experience. What better way to have an advocate for public education than someone who lived the horror? I know what they entail. My family experienced it, and I don't mean this to be, but it's the truth. We're able to walk out with our kids out of there alive. Very often, it was homebrew, trash, pizza. Honestly, think of that. So how do you go out with a whole year, all of a sudden, parents, they're doing their best 6 weeks all summer?
So I'm going to stop that right there because I'm getting frustrated. Here is Pablo's answer for Mr. Gary Gondara attacked him for saying that his kids went to a charter school, which he did. He's never denied. He's like, yeah, but we survived it, bro. Well, hold on.
Then someone who lived the horrors of a charter school, so I know what they entail. And because my family experienced it, and I don't mean this to be facetiously, but it's the truth. We were able to walk out with our kids out of there alive, literally alive. Very often it was one of those things where they were, come home bruised, scratched, pinched, a teacher even pinched them, honestly, things of that sort. And, how do you go out the whole year, all of a sudden telling your kids, the parents, they're doing good. Last 6 weeks, all of a sudden they're not doing good. There's an issue there. Where's the transparency? So when we raised questions, we got pushed out, but you know what? And I know that our board members for the charter school, guess what? They're not here. You know what? I have an issue with them. That's why I want to fight for the public school system and do what we need to do to make sure we get our kids back to the public school system.
And then my final question is.
All right. So what do you think, guys? What do you think, Sal? Se defendió?
Pablo did a real good job of countering it, because Gary was like, oh, not like my opponent. He did have his kids in charter school. So Pablo, that was a very, very good setup in the sense of you know, Gary setting up Pablo for that, because Pablo actually did come out with a good blow. And he could give that experience himself of what he went through in the charter and why he's back in the public. So before he had to be in the charter, he left the public. He left the public, he went to charter, didn't like it, saw what every parent, every student is being promised. And so he bailed out, he came back. So so it was kind of like eat your own words, Gary, type of thing.
Yeah, he attacked him. He's like, my opponent here went to a charter school. And he's all like, yeah, I did, bro. And guess what? I'm back. Because that shit don't work. Rene, what do you think?
Well, I'm gonna start by dissecting the question.
Okay.
First, so Gary Andara was asked, what are you gonna do to retention of students, right? So my whole thing is, look, that district is growing, and we know that the east side is growing. Why? Because El Paso can't grow anymore. So where is the growth? It's extending out all the way to Zaragoza, North Zaragoza, especially on that area. So the city is growing. More people are coming into the military. Where are they buying homes? On the east side. So that's why that they maintain that growth. Even though there's a lot of kids that are leaving the district, well, there's numbers are still going to be maintained for the next, I want to say, foreseeable future, the next 5 years. The numbers are going to still stay the same because of that. The growth is occurring up in the east side. So he didn't answer anything other than that, than just to say that, oh, well, we went out there and tucked the door so that we can't. No, it doesn't matter. The growth is still going to occur. You're still going to maintain those that student enrollment high, and even though some students will leave. I like that the district took the ability to go out there in force and try to fight off and fend off idea, right? But as you can see, even when you drive up Joe Battle on the right-hand side by Pelicano, we have another Harmony school. So the private education is growing. That's what people need to understand. It's growing. And it is going to take a lot of funding away from our public sector. And teachers need to be aware of that. I'm not going to say, and I'm not going to go as far as to say that you're going to lose your jobs, but you're going to take a pay cut, you know, if you get inundated with those. Why? Because they're going to start taking money from the public schools, and there's not going to be enough funding. So cuts will occur eventually. So we need to stifle the growth of pay for play in the schools, right, in the school education system by charters. One of the things is that I want to take my hat off to Gary, because he did hit Pablo and it was a good hit, and I would have done it as well. I will say that I come from the political realm. I want to say that it was called for. You know, yeah, you had your kids, Gary. That was a good play. But I was shocked the way Pablo came back, and he showed poise, and he showed that, you know what? Yes, he faced it. He was called on something, and he faced it like a true warrior. And he said, "Hey, this is what happened to me. I took a stab at it. I went to see, you know, if all of the hoopla was what it set out to be. I found out that it wasn't. I went through, you know, like what he called it, some horrors, and he pulled his kids out. And now he understands why. Now he understands that's why he said it. That's why I can advocate for public,
yeah,
for public school. Why? Because I lived what I lived with my kids and what we went through. And now it could make me a better person to really say, well, I'm a better rep that I can say why we need to fight charters. Right. And it was a good comeback from Pablo. I think that he owned up to it. And I like that. I liked his answer. And I'm just very glad that he had a good response.
Right. All right. Yeah, it's like I'm anti-charter. Everybody knows it. Everybody, you know. So that's how we met. And Pablo and I were like, dude, what the hell? And he had his horror stories. And if somebody touched my little girl, yeah, there'd be some issues there. And Pablo was like, what the hell? So, all right, let's go back here. I think it's the last question of the forum. And they're going to have a fun game for you guys. Let's see here.
Relationship between a trustee, the position you both are running for, and the school superintendent. And I'll start with you for this one.
A relationship. As a board member, you are a part of a board of seven individuals that, between the seven individuals, you are running a budget, you hire and fire a superintendent. And so it has to be professional. It has to be a decision that you have to understand as being part of the board. Your decisions affect a lot of people. And the decision that you make, you have to make that, when you make that decision, it's for the mass, not for the few. Dealing with the superintendent, you have to understand that issues do occur where you have these tough conversations, and again, with the board and with the majority of the board, you get that word across. So being a part of a board that has been has worked well together and has worked well with the superintendent has kept us on top of the region for a lot of years.
And same question for you about how you see the ideal relationship.
Professional.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating that we can't hear the answer.
But you notice how you can not only hear Pablo's, but yeah, you can hear everybody else.
Everybody, I checked on, I saw the whole thing on YouTube, and Pablo's the only one you can't hear.
As seven board members, they're collectively as a team. Like, that's what needs to happen. That's not, that hasn't been the case. Yes, I have that leadership that I've been taught since I was 18.
And then another question, again, kind of switching topics, is in what ways do you believe that underserved students need to be helped more? And I'll start with you, Mr. Mead.
Our community, I think one way to start off with reading.
Start off with reading programs. I heard that.
But then, man, they can just flourish and take off, like, you know, but a healthy reading on everything they're doing. That's one thing that I think to a lot of people.
I'm enough of that.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated.
This is the question, I think, that they're talking about some sort of accountability with the superintendent, right?
No, this is not it. It's because on the YouTube one, it's different than the what they showed on TV.
Because the thing is that the way Gary is answering, so I wanted to kind of make a reference to the one on the EP, ISD, they asked, one of the candidates or one of the districts, they asked a very good question that I really liked. And that was, how is it that you're going to have the superintendent accountable?
Right.
And I really like that. So Gary's kind of fishing into something that was said in the 1-4 EP, and so then I just wanted to talk a little bit about that, because the one on the EP, I really liked the responses that they said that we are the board, we are the ones that will have the superintendent accountable for. And so then when you're talking about Socorro, is it going to be a board that is going to follow the lead of the superintendent, or is it going to be a board that's going to make the superintendent accountable for? So it's two different things, because now Gary's talking about a vote. I think he said something about 4-3. I'm not sure what.
Yeah. That is right. I think I have it.
Come up. But the question that you asked right now, okay, that Gary answered, was what about the superintendent? And he went along and said, oh, well, the board works well and this and that, but he didn't really answer the question. And the question should be where, you know what, you do have to address that the board, the trustees are it. They reign supreme. They should hold the superintendent accountable, because the superintendent is there at will from the board. You know, who hires and fires the board? I mean, the superintendent, the board does. Okay. So therefore, who's subordinate to who?
Right.
And yeah, that's what the board needs to understand, is that you're not there for him to come and tell you, well, this is what we're going to do. And then they're gullible. And yeah, okay, we're going to do this. Oh, okay, yeah, you can go. No, you don't have free reign. You need to understand that the board dictates what the superintendent should be doing. What does the board need? What is the vision? And then if you want to give free reign, then you say, look, Mr. Espinosa, or whoever superintendent in the future should be, or for that matter, is, look, we want the kids to pass this curriculum, or we need more English or dual learning.
Right.
Implement that throughout. Those are things that the board needs to address and give the superintendent that ability to be able to bring it up.
Those goals.
Yeah, goals. That's how you look. Let me explain to you something. When I had a discussion with one of the board members, and he flies pretty good. So what I told him was, why are you going to give this guy a raise when we don't even know what happened in San Antonio with the fight?
Exactly. Okay. You're exactly right.
Okay. And he said, oh, it's because we have to, because it's in his contract. Whoa. You don't have to do crap. There was an incident that needs to be addressed, and therefore your attorney should have the say so to say, look, due to these facts, we need to evaluate you. Well, we're going to evaluate you, but we got to investigate in order for us to come back and evaluate you. We need to know what occurred down there. Okay.
Whataburger Gate.
Yeah, the Whataburger Gate. So we know, because I did some digging, but I'm going to leave it at that. I got something for that board member. Bass, when it's your time.
Oh, gosh.
You meddled with me, I'm going to meddle with you.
Ooh, papa.
Ah, baby. It's coming.
It's coming.
So what I'm going to say is this, is that the board dictates, gives directives as the board, and then the superintendent finds out and says, this is what we're going to do. This is the direction. And of course, the superintendent also has ideas that can bring it up and say, look, we can do this, we can do that. What do you guys think? So forth. It's a give and take. But at the end of the day, that's how you hold accountability to your superintendent. And that's how you can find a better way to evaluate him. You set some goals. Did he meet him in a timely manner? Okay, then you get a good evaluation. But when you hear that he got an excellent evaluation, that's horse manure.
Son compas.
But that's what I'm saying. That is bullshit. Nobody should have a perfect, because there's always room for improvement.
Espinosa's perfect. You leave him alone. You hear me?
No. It's you know what? It's nobody's perfect. I'm not even perfect.
Not even Rene Rodriguez. You heard it here. Sal, what do you think?
We need to understand that people put their name on a ballot and people vote. So I want to be able to vote for somebody that's going to represent me, somebody that's going to speak up for me, somebody that's going to be that voice. Because if not, then if you're just going to go along with what other people are trying to pass as their agenda, and I didn't vote you for that. You're not representing me. And so then what happens is that once people get into seats, then they start forgetting that. They start losing tune with their people. They stop forgetting where they come from. They don't understand their own districts per se. That's because they think that they're in another level. But then they forget that they're elected officials or they're elected members in this sense. So it doesn't necessarily that you always have to be running. Yeah, if he brings a good idea, then yeah, by all means support it. But when it doesn't look good, then I'm as a voter, I'm asking for that voice to question it and not to just let it die and not let it be that 4-3 type of thing. I mean, if you have to put somebody in accountability, then that's what it's got to be. That's why you put your name in that ballot, because you want to represent a district, and people sometimes tend to forget that.
That's right. Thank you, Sal. And I think 11 years is long enough. And all that board has been there for 11 years. And don't get me wrong, Socorro was good for a while. But everybody gets complacent. Everybody's just like, and the thing is, they say how new people are going to come in and mess everything up. No, new people came in and exposed things that were wrong. That's the difference, because there's contracts, you know, and I know it. There's contracts there. They're going to lose their contracts. And that's what they want. They don't care about us. They care about the contracts they have with their companies. So that's where we're at. And I think both of you hit on that. All right, we're going to play a game, because I'm tired of putting Pablo where he can't defend himself. And Gary is just embarrassing himself. We're going to play a game. Who says it best? All right, guys? Who says it best? Okay? Just to let you know, Pablo and I did have a podcast March 13th. Okay, March 13th. All right. So let's hear what Pablo says first. Let's see here. And this is a podcast we had. I'm gonna present it to you real quick. It's fun. It's a fun game, guys. Who says it best? If I can get this going, that'd be cool. Hold on. Who says it best? Here we go. All right, guys. Listen.
You know what the saddest thing is? When I asked the question, I said, why don't we have a board member from El Paso? Oh, you know, it's a lot of the people that are invested into the system, into the idea. And I'm like, red flag there. That was...
All right. That's Pablo on March 13th. All right, let's see what Gary has to say on March 15th.
Thank you. Now, if you go to one of their schools, good luck trying to find the person that represents you here.
That's right.
Some other part of the state. It is.
All right. It was coincidence, right?
Yeah.
That was coincidence, right? What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Somebody copied somebody.
All right. That was coincidence. I'm gonna show you a little bit more.
Hey, was that a biting move?
That was Ivanka. What's her name? It was, he copied something. It gets better. It gets better. It gets better. All right. Let's hear what Pablo has to say real quick. March 13th, Pablo Barrera and I had a podcast. All right. All right. All right. Let's see.
Like that. And that's a difference when you're a private entity per se, or a charter school entity, because you know what? In public schools, we do have, I know I'm part of a union.
All right. 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 So that happened, right? Let's see here. Let's go here. I hope this is right. That's bad. That's good enough. You guys ready?
Yeah.
State level. We need to go to our state legislators, senators, and let them know that they need to stop expansion of funds to private entities as idea.
Whoa. What happened? What happened?
Man, plagiarism 101.
It's not over yet.
Hey, somebody's listening to the podcast.
Yeah. Right? Right? It gets better, dog. It gets better. Hold on. Hold on. It gets better. It gets better. Hold on. Hold on. I wish I had fancy equipment, but I don't. All right. Listen up. Hold on. Let me present it. I told you this was a fun game.
Because everybody gave a piece of the pie, and we'll get that to a little bit. So the last one, and also look, don't forget that IDEA has private jets, leased a private, well, that didn't happen because of public outcry, but they had Spurs luxury tickets. No, pues que suave. This is what happens, and Pablo, you told me something about that, about those luxury tickets and private jets. What were you telling me earlier? Did you freeze? All right, Pablo, tell us about what happened that one time
you're kind of
like, hey, what's going on here? The luxury tickets to the Spurs, stuff like that.
So it's one of those things, obviously, again, I felt I asked the right question, because that was now it's the right question, because now I'm able to give everybody the insight on how they operate, you know? And in order for you to have, I guess, quote unquote perks, you have to be more involved. And that's just the nature of the beast. The more involved you are, the more perks you're gonna have, or your student will have, or students, you know, and that's just the way it is. I mean,
so okay, here it comes. All right. I like this game. All right, you ready? Hold on, let me present this.
Now in Texas, who's running IDEA, private jet.
Right.
Box seats. At the Spurs. again, I want to thank all of you.
All right. What happened there?
Damn.
Hold on, it gets better. Hold on, it gets better. This is the kicker. So let me get this going, but this is it. This is our last thing we talked about. And let's see what happened here. All right, let's see if I can hold on. It's too much right there. Let's get it up. All right, right there. All right. Let me present you the last one. Last evidence. Because I like evidence. I like facts. It's a thing.
It is. It entails a lot of, you got to go ARDs, which are annual review and dismissals, the IEPs that they got to follow, the documentation that they got, that, you know, sped teachers got input. That takes time. It takes time. And each, remember, those that don't know, when it's a student, individual education plan, for the student, that's the individual education plan for the student. So that means if a sped teacher has 10 kids that they got to take care of, that means it's 10 different forms of way or ways to educate those kids. It's different. It's like creating 10 different lesson plans, if I'm not mistaken, correct, Alex?
It's literally
a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a ton of work.
All right, so let me tell you, I'm a special education teacher. Pablo isn't a special education teacher, but he just explained my job perfectly. Okay? Most people cannot explain what I do like that. Okay? So that is some high rigor thinking. And Pablo knows that stuff, which is scary, because that's why people don't like him, because he knows the law. And SPED is law. Very, very intelligent man right there. He knows what he's talking about. And my final evidence to you, my friends here in the podcast, is this. Listen, okay? You're going to miss it if you don't listen.
It has a $15 mansion in McAllen, Texas, who's running.
Did you hear it?
McAllen, Texas?
No. How much is the mansion?
$15 million mansion.
No, he didn't say that.
$15 mansion.
$15 mansion.
What?
Listen to it.
There's a $15 mansion.
Oh, that's right.
Please, where do I get a $15 mansion? Where in the world?
Not in Socorro.
Not in Soco Loco.
Wow.
What happens when you plagiarize in college? You're out.
No buts whatsoever.
We did our podcast on the 13th, and that video came out on the 15th.
Hey, man, well, you know what? He gets an A for effort. At this point, you're going to try to hit Pablo as hard as you can. You know, he did. Like I said, I take my hat out to him because, you know, politics is war. You know, that's what I tell people. Politics is war.
Yeah.
And it's dirty to its fullest. You know, people need to understand that when they say, oh, it's because he was dirty campaigning. What is dirty? Telling you the truth? You don't know, man. You know, if they went to jail, they went to jail. If he took out his kids to charter schools, look, I'm going to say this, okay? One thing I do not do, I will not bring your personal life that has nothing to do with you running. Right, okay. That is what it's a big no-no for me. I will never cross that line. I will not say, hey, well, your wife's going out with so-and-so. That I don't care. Okay. She ain't running. you are. You know, I draw the lines with your kids, right?
Right.
Now, in this aspect, your kids is the subject of this because, and it's not borderline. It's the truth. You, why did you go to IDEA? Because of your kids, right? Now, where I draw the line with your children is, oh, when somebody would say, oh, well, your kids are stupid, or your kids are dumb or stuff like that. That's dirty. You don't do that. Okay. You don't. I will never do that. But you know, Gary used it in the content of, you know what, hey, that's why he went to charters. You know, hey, it's a fair, valid point. You know, he did. He tested the waters, Pablo came back and did it. You know, was it dirty? No, it's fair game. But, you know, like I say, you know, politics is dirty. You know, Gandara tried to use whatever he could hear and use to his advantage. Was it plagiarism? Of course, but it's politics. You know, is it funny as hell? Yeah, man, that shit was funny because you proved it. You know, you're like, hey, you know, and it's funny as hell. You know, it's like, dude, come on, be original. You know, at least take half of what you, not all of it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, come on, do two or three. You know, put them little bits and pieces, but don't use the whole skit, man. Come
on. Oh, man, that was crazy. I've had that since forever. My birthday is on the 15th. I was like, dude, why on my birthday, bro?
Oh, that's funny. That's priceless, man.
That is.
Well, we call it in politics, that's gold.
That's gold. Sal, what do you think, bro? What do you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, straight up plagiarism, man. I mean,
it's
just one of those things that's basically how much out of tune you are with your district.
Yeah.
And he just exposed himself, you know?
Yeah.
So not only did he expose himself, what was it, March 15th, you said?
Yeah, March 15th.
But just recently in the PBS, and so... I mean, you had enough time from March to just recently to go back and do a little checklist of everything that you've done in the past 11 years. But it doesn't look like there was much done because he was stealing Pablo's points. So
yeah, he didn't do much in 11 years, and this is where we're at, and this is it, you know. Early voting started today, guys. You have a choice. Plagiarism. Somebody who spits in your face. There's dual
Apodaca, guys. Chayo Apodaca today had no lines. It was the fastest. I was even laughing with the people in there. The fastest I've ever been in a voting booth. Not even.
My wife voted. I voted. It was in and out. I think the instructions took longer.
Yes.
And your choice is simple. Plagiarism. We have dual language in Socorro because everybody speaks Spanish in Socorro. That's what your representative thinks of you. Let me tell you, I've met people in Socorro that don't talk Spanish. And it's okay. And it's fine because not everybody needs to speak Spanish. It's not a prerequisite to speak Spanish in Socorro. It's not. But he made us seem that way and put us down as Socorrians, and you should be really upset about it.
Yeah.
So you need to really check yourself, and you've lost touch with your people. And I voted today. I voted for Pablo. It is what it is. We have to speak truth to power. We have to keep power accountable. All right, guys, this was two episodes. Let's recap what we talked about in the first one. We talked about taking responsibility for the 21 of the 29 students who didn't graduate were from Socorro. And nobody batted an eye except for Espinosa, and they didn't hold them accountable. So he talks about being an A district, but those 21 kids don't have an education. Rene hit on it where the transparency would be, this is what we're doing for these kids. Ms. Cruces said, that's life. I don't think you would take that answer from a teacher. That is not life. And for all your teachers, like Ralph Duran, that doesn't clean his yards, just because he's a council member, your teacher should use an excuse, like our constituents are using that excuse of, well, Ralph Duran doesn't have to clean his yard. You should say, that's life. Because when it comes to administration, they get away with everything. Us teachers don't get away with nothing. Zero. So you check your admin and say, that's life. We also had a lie from Mr. Gary Gandara. He said by September that 100% of computers and Wi-Fi and hotspots, but there's 46,000 students in Socorro. He said there was 21,400 with laptops and another 5,000 from the valley. So that makes 26,400, but there's 46,000 students. So they're missing 19,600 computers and laptops, including Wi-Fis, including hotspots. Your math is wrong. So that's a lie. Not in September did you have 100%. So that's on the El Paso Times questionnaire. Please look it up. Socorro talked about when he said there was 100%, Socorro ISD in a statement said the vast majority. And they don't have that. So we did break down the PBS forum. It was very frustrating. We tried as much as possible to play Pablo Barrera's, Pablo's answers, and we just, it was too hard. I hope PBS fixes the audio. It's just horrendous on YouTube, we'll try to put it on here. I don't know about the copyright rules yet. So the last thing that happened was that Gary Gandara spit in the face of Socorro. He said there's dual language here. Why? Because Socorro speaks Spanish. Or you're supposed to speak Spanish if you live in Socorro. No, sir. That is not dual language. The correct answer should be dual language, Mandarin or German or Italian or French. Not just because we live in Socorro do we talk Spanish. And not just because we're in Socorro, we're supposed to talk Spanish. That is an insult to all the people in Socorro. And that's what Gary Gandara thinks about you. And don't forget that. You're to him. You're supposed to speak Spanish. Just like everybody else that thinks about Socorro the way they do. And they do. So if you think about Socorro that it's dirty or, oh yeah, those poor people. I live in Socorro. Sal lives in Socorro. Rene lives in Socorro. Don't forget that. Because this is how we fight power. We keep up accountable and we talk about it. And he plagiarizes. Gary Ganda plagiarizes. That's what we talked about as well. That was fun. $15 mansions. He steals. He listens to the podcast. It is what it is, homie. Early voting started. Go vote for the right candidate for change in the city of Socorro. Okay, Rene, last words.
Well, I like the last segment about who said it. You know, I like the plagiarism. It was funny. I just want to say to people, like I've been saying, you know, when me and And Alex, we're talking about this, doing it. It's because of this moment right now. Is because you need to do a podcast so that people can be aware of what's going on, not only in the city, but in the school districts. It's very important. It's very important for your vote. If you don't like your current representative, then you have the ability to change him. If you like your representative, then vote for him. But vote, and that's the key word here, is that you need to go out and vote. You know, if you don't vote, then you really don't have a saying. Because why? Because you had the opportunity to say something and do something by voting. You know, people, it's a cliche where they say, oh, well, let your voices be heard, vote. That's a cliche. I don't like it. But in a way, it's true. It's true. If you don't like the way it's being run, go vote. Make the change. If you don't like the way things are going, go vote. Make a change. It's very important. You know, yes, I'm a little, you know, rough around the edges when I speak, you know, because I speak my mind. I'll always tell you what you're asking me is I'll tell you my opinion. I will never tell you what you want to hear. I will always give you my opinion. And as rough and as hard as it may be, you're going to get it all the time. And it's very important. Go out to vote. And that's, I will leave you with that. Please go vote. Very important, especially when it's hundreds of millions of dollars on their annual budget. Go vote. We pay enough. We pay more. I did it on my own. I did the numbers. I crunched them for you. We pay more money to the school district than the city of Socorro. This is the time for your voices to be heard. And there goes with the cliche. Go vote.
Thank you, Renee. Sal.
Yeah, that's a very strong statement. Go vote. That is the only way that your voice is going to be heard. And so then pick who you think is going to represent you and somebody that's going to speak for you. And so that is one of the biggest reasons why I'm involved in this community, is because I want to have representatives representing me. And for those that don't represent my voice, I go after them. I go after them because it's the bigger picture. And so if you wanna be involved and if you want your voice to be heard, then of course you need to vote. And so we're all accountable. So let's make each other accountable for those reasons.
Thank you, Sal. Oh man, it was rough. It was frustrating, this podcast. We've been planning it. It was very important for us to do. We want to send the best to Pablo Barrera's daughter, who's in the hospital right now and couldn't join us for today. It happens, and it happens to a lot of us that, yeah, you might be doing a political campaign, but sometimes life gets in the way. And that happened to people that I know, and it sucks. But for the best, we're here now. So we wish you the best in her recovery, and that's where Pablo is right now. Watch what they do, not what they say. What they've done is zero. Zero in 11 years. And he thought he was going to sweet talk his way to get to another election. And I remember when we talked about this, we were like, somebody needs to hold him accountable. And Pablo did, and Pablo is going to. And no matter what happens in May 1st, we're here now. And trust me, they know we're here. And that's okay. And if you guys want to call me up, let me know what you think, what you don't think. I don't care. This is going to keep going. We're empowering the Valley. That's exactly what we're doing. And it's not us. It's going to get bigger. This is going to get bigger, and we're not going to let Socorro. And talking to the net this afternoon, we're never going to get what we want here in Socorro. You know why? Because the governments before them messed everything up. Sal said it. Rene said it. We're not going to catch up. We're going to try. We're going to really try. But we're not going to catch up because driveways shouldn't have gone to just voters. There's a rumor that only some COVID shots went to voters. And that's not the way you do things. And you look out for your brother and you look out for your sister and your fellow Sicarian. Like today, I found this great from Frederick Drelaglis, quote that said, power concedes nothing without demand. And they're absolutely right. If we didn't sit here and talk for a couple of hours and put it on YouTube, then we wouldn't have what we have now. And that's somebody worrying about their contract with SISD and their paycheck. They don't care about the kids. They don't care about whatever happens to those kids, especially the 29 kids. Why? Because of the mentality of, they'll find a job. Nah. And that's the one thing that hurts the most, that those kids are not getting their high school diploma where they'll only make $20,000 a year, where with a high school diploma, you make a little bit more, maybe 30. And then you go to college and then as you get more educated, but that you don't care about that. You care about the contracts you have with SISD or your buddies have with SISD or anybody has with SISD. And that's fine because it's capitalism at its best. But we're here to keep you accountable no matter what happens May 1st. And the thing is, the wheels are turning. The wheels are turning. We're looking out. We want more and we demand more. And we'll demand every week more from our officials. All right, guys, this is a two-parter. It was fun. It was exhausting. It was a punch in the gut, as Sal said. Because we got called Socorrians that speak Spanish. And that's okay. That's okay. All right, for Sal Chagoya, for Rene Rodriguez, not Reyes, have a good rest of the week. Part one, this is part two. You guys have a good night. Good night.
Good night.
Night.